Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
97.1 FM Talk. On demand audio.
There you go. The ladies cutting crew on the bumper music.
I just died in your arms tonight.
So we did have a limited response from Iran today on one of our missile bases, and it wasn't a big display, so you have to wonder what's going on there. We're going to talk a little bit more about what happened over the weekend with William Dunn, Marine Corps Colonel, retired. He's the president of Strategic Resilience Group. He's a veteran of 33 years in the Marine Corps. Colonel, how are you this afternoon? Thanks for jumping on 97.1 FM Talk here in St. Louis.
Great. I'm doing great. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing okay. Well, let's just kind of go take us back to what happened on Saturday. Of course, we have the Missouri connection with the B-2 bombers, and there was a little diversion tactic that was used in some of this as well, wasn't there?
Well, absolutely. And, you know, the B-2 bombers are just an amazing asset that the United States has at their possession and can use when necessary.
So what can you tell us about how, you know, my daughter asked an interesting question today because I was trying to educate her. She was asking, she's only 10 years old, about, you know, well, she used the word war. She goes, well, what's the war about? And we've been talking a little bit about Israel anyway, but we talked about this. And she said to me, what did they do? What do people, this is a good question from a 10-year-old, what do people in the military do when they're not at war, when they're not doing something like this? And this is a good example of that, because these guys train, and women, there was a female pilot here, I think, as well. They train over and over and over again to make sure that they get it right, and it seems like they got it right in this situation.
Yeah, I think so. They did, and that's exactly what they do. They train, they plan, they train, they fly, they work their craft and their trade, and they make sure that they are ready to go when the nation calls.
So on the B-2s in particular, that you know, that's just a very interesting angle, because they sent a couple out to Guam, and maybe, you know, Iran is watching this and other parts of the world, and they think that it's going to go in a different direction. But one of the things I think that was unique, at least in the telling of the story that I heard over the weekend, I didn't realize there was so much support aircraft that also works with the B-2 pilots. So this is really intricate, isn't it?
Absolutely. And they work together all the time. They train together. They plan together. Every aspect of this mission has to be very thoroughly thought of, thoroughly planned out, and prepared, so that when the, you know, the president or the nation calls, that the men and women can go right away. And it's not unusual at all for a military member, especially in some of the special forces places, to be sitting at home on the weekend, get a call, and then they're gone for an undetermined amount of time. We have to be ready all the time at a moment's notice.
I don't know if you've watched it. I've referenced it a lot here in the last 2 months, the Manhunt documentary on Netflix about Osama bin Laden. And that was fast. Have you seen that, by the way, Colonel?
What's that? No, I did not see that.
Yeah, it's really good. But one of the things that they do in the third episode, it's only 3 episodes, Robert O'Neill, the guy who actually shot bin Laden, talks about, and the rest of the people involved in the operation, they talk about how they, you know, put the mission together, even going so far as to building a replica of the house that they thought bin Laden was in, where he was in, but they didn't know it at the time. And they practiced time and time and time again, trying to get to the point where they could do it. But even in a situation like this with the B-2s and the best military in the world, you don't have any guarantee that something's not going to go wrong. In this case, did we get a little lucky, or was Iran just not capable of reacting that quickly?
I would not say we got lucky. Very hard planning went into this. Sure, there's always a factor where a maintenance problem could have happened. Thankfully, that didn't. That can happen at any time. So if you want to call that luck, sure. The maintainers would disagree with me. They would say that their aircraft were ready to fly and prepared. But that's the detailed amount of planning. And what I would like everyone that's listening to understand is that's what you should expect all the time from your military.
Yeah.
We train over and over and over again, whether it's a mission in Iran or a mission in country X, When we go out to fly, that's training. When we go out to a range, we're training. We have targets of a potential threat that we practice and learn on over and over again.
What can you tell us about the Tomahawk missiles as well? Because it wasn't just the bunker busters that were used that had to get deep into the ground. That's very unique weapons capability. But they also fired, what was it, in excess of 100 Tomahawk missiles in coordination with this effort.
Well, I've heard different numbers. I've heard 30. I don't know how many they actually fired. That they probably are not going to tell exactly how many they fired. These ones appear to have come from submarines. They could come from ships and other platforms. They're an amazing weapon, an amazing asset for the U.S. military to employ. They go very low. They're very hard to defend against, and they're precision pinpoint and can hit targets very precisely from almost anywhere in the world. I think the range that they talk about is around 1,500 miles. These flew about 400 miles. And so imagine somebody launching a missile 400 miles away that's going to hit almost the same time the bombs are dropping. So they were launching those missiles most likely well before the airplanes got into Iranian airspace. So that's how choreographed this was.
That's mind-blowing when you think about it, because that was one of the things I heard yesterday and today in the coverage. I didn't realize, I guess, in a lot of our minds, because we've seen a lot of movies, right? You feel like something comes off a submarine or something comes off a carrier, whatever. It's in the air, and then boom, it hits its target. But it's in the air for a long, long time, isn't it?
Well, that's right. And this is how detailed the planning is. And, you know, I was a Cobra pilot in the Marine Corps. And some of the missiles, our time of flight could be 21 seconds, or some our missiles would be almost 60 seconds. If you had to start and hit your target at noon exactly, you would fire that missile at 11:59 or 11:59 in 12 seconds. That's how precise these planners were for these targets, to make sure that the element of surprise wasn't given up if the Tomahawks had got there early. So kudos out to those men and women that planned this. And this was a massive effort across, you know, multiple services and across multiple entities.
How do you train for something like that? I mean, with dummy weapons and things like that in the middle of the desert, exactly like I was referring to with the movies, because that seems to be so extensive that how do you even know that you're going to get it right?
Well, you do a whole litany of things. You train the simulator. I would suggest, I don't know if they did on this mission, but some missions you can fly in a simulator almost the entire mission. And then when you go out to a range, you're shooting, and whether you're dropping a bomb or shooting a rocket or a missile, and you're practicing over and over again. And most of the time those weapons are just metal. They don't explode, so you're saving that high explosive. But very often we use, you know, real weapons. Now they're not going to drop these penetrators for training. If they did, they'd be a total
right.
Total mock-up. And I don't know if they did that in any of their training missions, but they would fly a weapon system with a similar flight profile. And, you know, the engineers know how to make that work, so they would take, you know, we have what's called blue bombs that we fly a lot in the Marine Corps. You know, you could actually fly them off a Cobra. I've never done it, but I guess some of my older peers had. And a blue bomb flies the same profile as a 500-pound bomb, or depending on how they want to train, and it flies the same profile. So you fly everything the same, you hit the button, and it'll go off and fly the same trajectory.
Are you surprised, you know, that one of the stories of today is that Iran did, I guess retaliation would be a word to use, but it doesn't seem like there was much retaliation. I think Jen Griffin over at Fox has been doing some really, really good coverage of that. And one of the things that caught my ear is if Iran wanted to send more missiles and what they refer to as floating drones, they certainly could have done that. Are you surprised that there was not more extensive retaliation at this point or not?
I'm not surprised. They're either sort of internally admitting defeat. They're probably not doing that, but they know they cannot stop. Well, they can't stop Israel, number one, and two, after what happened this weekend, they know they can't stop the U.S. And if they do any damage, and the president has promised if they attack or hurt any of our soldiers, that there's going to be a response. And I will tell you this, I've got people right now in the Middle East, and they were attacked today on their bases. I won't say which ones, but some of my folks in two different countries were attacked on their bases today. They're all okay, thank God. And I'm waiting to see if there's going to be a response from this administration, from our administration.
Yeah, so then the question becomes, you know, there's Democrats that are carping already that this was unconstitutional, and I'm going to address that issue with one of our constitutional experts, Ilya Shapiro, at the bottom of the hour. But maybe from your perspective, from a military perspective, because, look, a lot of people voted for this particular president because they did not want American men and women directly involved in wars or conflicts that drag on forever. We've been talking about doing something about Iran for a long, long, long time. So is there, and obviously there would be a risk right now, I guess my question to you would be, what risk or how much risk is there to get further involved in this particular conflict? Because when the president says something, one thing we've learned, he does what he says. And if they do respond, I think he said this earlier on Saturday, I can play this audio.
Tonight's was the most difficult of them all, by far, and perhaps the most lethal. But if peace does not come quickly, we will go after those other targets with precision, speed, and skill.
So obviously, if you indicate there's, you know, some of our men and women are going to be attacked, there was the attack at Bagram, what is the next step, or what potentially would be the next stop militarily?
I would attack war-supporting infrastructure in Iran. I would take out some of their fast attack craft that are along the coastline and the Straits of Hormuz. I'd make sure they remain open. There's a, you know, minimal, I would call it a minimal navy in Iran. They could lose that pretty easily. If there's any remaining aircraft that the Israelis haven't taken out, I would take those out, and then any missile launchers. And then, if that doesn't work, then I would focus on command and control. And it would be a very simple campaign, and in a couple of days, we could really, you know, put some additional impacts onto that, you know, hopefully onto that regime. And ideally, their Iranian folks will take care of that.
So, isn't what Israel did in the first place 10 days ago part of that, where they went after command and control? Because they reportedly, and I don't know how much proof we have of all this, really decimated some of the leadership, some of the military leadership, didn't they?
They did. And, you know, they did that in other countries in the Middle East with the pagers and the walkie-talkies. Their intel is exquisite. You know, I've heard some of the tactics. I don't know these for sure. I heard they sent messages to a bunch of the Iranian leadership, got them all in one place and blew them up. When you're dealing with a foe like that, you have to realize that they're in, you know, they're all in. And so very sophisticated tactics. And as you can see, it's had huge impact on Iran. And, you know, I got Fox News in the background. It says Trump says Israel and Iran agree to ceasefire.
I'm just seeing that as well. Yeah, well,
so
that would
if
be
that's true. That would be wonderful.
Yeah, that would be a good positive development. One more question for you on the military front, because, you know, I think of these things. We addressed it a little bit earlier. How in the world, as a pilot, do you do a 37-hour mission? Obviously, there's more than just one person in that B-2, but that just in and of itself, logistically, sounds very difficult.
Well, it is. In the long, you know, in a Cobra, we have 2 hours of gas, and we can't aero refuel. So the longest day I ever had flying in Iraq was a little over 8 hours, and I was worn out. Very hot day, very, very long day. 37 hours, you know, my hat's off to those Air Force bubbas. And we'll never tell it to them in a bar or to their face, but right. I'll say it on air because I'm not looking at them. Phenomenal job. 37 hours is an amazing event, refueling multiple times. You know, they did a great job and a great service for our country.
You know, there's a story that I was shared because I asked the question at the beginning of the show. I mean, how do you even go to the bathroom? I guess it features a bed, a toilet, a microwave oven. It's essentially a flying hotel. But if I'm one of the pilots involved in this and I just, you know, succeeded in this mission, I think it'd be pretty hard to go to sleep after that.
Well, you know, I don't know. They're professionals.
Yeah.
When many, many, many pilots were fighting the war in Iraq for 20 years. You know, we'd fly 12 hours on, 12 hours off every single day. The Air Force pilots are doing the same thing, right? And, you know, when a Marine or soldier's on the ground, the pilot's going to do everything in their power to support them. And I would suspect, you know, they probably went out, maybe had a cocktail and went right to bed. And you know what I bet they were doing the next day? I bet you they're planning for follow-on missions.
Right. I think they probably are from Whiteman Air Force Base. Hey, thank you, Colonel, for joining us this afternoon with the update. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure, and thanks so much for having me.
All right. Yeah, he kind of broke some news. As soon as he said that, I was looking up at the screen, Sue, here in the studio, and it says that Trump says Israel and Iran agree to a ceasefire after some retaliation today. Let me kind of get you updated on that. Brett Sadler was with us earlier. He wasn't with us. He was with Martha McCallum on Fox. One of the questions right now is how much did we decimate when it came to the nuclear capability? And there's a real good, you know, question or inquiry as to did they move any of the material? Look, they've been threatened with this attack for more than 60 days. It was day 61. Trump said, look, if you're not coming to the table, we're going to do something about this. 10 days ago, Israel started doing something about it. But could they have moved the material?
That's a good question. I would suspect the Mossad probably has a good idea. The Israeli intelligence agencies, if not ours. There was the interesting satellite imagery the day before the attacks, the President Trump's attacks, and Fodor, that there were lines of trucks. Where those trucks went, it can be tracked. It's probably not a surprise that there's probably some indication where those are. And, of course, the Chinese military aircraft that have been coming in and out of Tehran, what were they moving around? So there is a, I put high probability that it's been dispersed, the nuclear-grade uranium, but it's also probably likely known. But again, 100% certainty is not really the rule of the game here. It's trying to get enough pain on the Iranians that they give up the ghost on this.
So most of the Democrats, maybe not most, but a fair amount of Democrats, certainly in the Senate, they don't like this at all. They think it's a war crime on the part of President Trump. They're already talking impeachment.
The United States should not be in an offensive war against Iran without a vote of Congress. The Constitution is completely clear on it.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
And I am so disappointed that the president has acted so prematurely.
What the president did here is definitely outside of the War Powers Resolution, and I think outside of the Constitution.
The president absolutely failed to follow the Constitution, and now we're in war without congressional authorization.
Well, Josh Hammer referred to this earlier. I mean, even the early polling, Harry Enten, the polling guy on CNN, had to admit there's like 76% of even Democrats who think that we did the right thing here. Most of the elected Democrats seemingly, like Chris Murphy and some of these other boneheads, aren't on the same page. And lo and behold, you have common sense once again from the guy in Pennsylvania that we all, and I'll admit this, judged way too early, especially in the aftermath of his stroke, because we didn't think he was of sound mind. They do the hit piece on him about a month and a half ago. But John Fetterman's on the right side of this.
For me, I'm sure. I mean, there's going to be a lot of people in my party that are going to disagree with the strike with Iran. And I actually support that. I've been always calling for that thing. I think it was entirely appropriate. And again, there might be votes on that. So for me, that's not a war. That was a very limited military exercise, and it struck that, and then that's where we're at. So really, it really wasn't about unconstitutional or it's anything like that. It was like a very, very limited military engagement, and then it took them out, damaged them severely.
And maybe that's it, because we have this report now, even though Iran responded at least a little bit, it was kind of a tiny response today, that we have talk of a ceasefire, which would be good news. But then you have AOC on the House side and some of the other radicals calling for impeachment, as I indicated.
Of course, no. She knows it. I know it. We all know it. That's not going anywhere. And, you know, he's been impeached twice, and now he's still our president as well now, too. So it's not going anywhere, and I don't think that's helpful. And I think if you throw that term around, that actually diminishes what the severity of what impeachment is really reserved for.
One of the things I said earlier is I sometimes I can't help myself, and I had to tune into CNN in particular on Saturday night, and it was kind of comical. They didn't even know how to cover this. And I think that Trey Yingst, who's been on the ground in Israel, we played plenty of his audio, has been doing an incredible job on reporting on this situation. Jen Griffin, who is the State Department reporter, she's a veteran reporter, really, really outstanding work on Fox talking about all this stuff.
100 125 U.S. warplanes, each B-2 refueled in midair 3 to 4 times each way on the nonstop 18-hour flight from Missouri, an air refueling bridge across the Mediterranean and Middle East, 14 GBU-57 bunker buster bombs among the 75 satellite-guided munitions dropped, and 30 Tomahawk missiles fired from an Ohio-class submarine 400 miles away, which stayed in the air 1 hour and 40 minutes, time to drop after the last B-2 struck in Fordow.
Has anyone heard, Fred, have we heard a price tag that's been put on this? Because there is a legitimate question about how much money is spent in this, but no one's really talked about that yet. I'm sure that that's something that will come up with some of the Democrats as well. As I like to point out, I think we mentioned this with Josh Hammer earlier. Look, there's a lot of things that are not required for our taxpayers to go to, but defending the country is part, actually, of the constitutional responsibility. We're coming back. I have a couple of stories to share. We have some interesting Eric Schmidt audio that I want to share here. We're going to talk about Chip Carey and a flub, if you will, that he's taking grief for that he shouldn't. And we got Ilya Shapiro on the constitutionality of the War Powers Act coming up at the bottom of the hour. And an audio cut of the day.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Service is not available in all areas.